Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another edition of Home Base Business 101. Your host, Jay.
Telling me that I should be
more and more of who I am.
Remember,
it's my time. That's right, welcome to the morning. Catching us in the archived version of the show. We thank you again for tuning in to Home Base Business 101. And remember, as we said with our theme song, hey, it's my time to claim my destiny. Hope you feel that way each and every day because it's the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it for some strange reason, for some perfectly good reason. Hey, the Creator of all gave you another day to fulfill your dreams and to work on your destiny. And I hope that you have that type of outlook and attitude each morning. Well, today, you know, we have a special show today. We have a special guest. And I'll tell you a little bit about our guest and then bring our guest on. Our guest is Forrest Bray Fogle III, author of Integrated Enterprise Excellence Series. And Forrest is a professional engineer and a CEO and author, and he has dedicated his career to assisting companies achieve optimum quality and efficiency. A fellow with the American Society for Quality and a Crosby Medal Award recipient, Forrest has written a new four-part business book series, Integrated Enterprise Excellence, which takes managers beyond the Lean Six Sigma and the Balanced Scoreboard. And, you know, he's written these books, and very interesting. I've had a chance to read two, and one is very interesting. It starts off with some guys, some buddies who play golf, and they use the golf game to analyze what they need to do in their business life and careers. I thought that was very creative. And what I do is bring Forrest on. How you doing today, Forrest?
Great.
Good, good. We're glad to have you on the show. And, you know, we have shows, Home-Based Business 101, and most of the people that listen to our show are involved in network marketing. Some also have some other different home-based business ventures that they're working on. Could you tell us a little bit about your series and why you wrote the series of books that you put together in Integrated Enterprise Excellence series?
Okay. What I've written is really a four-book volume series. Like you said, it's called the Integrated Enterprise Excellence System. And basically, the Integrated Enterprise Excellence Systems gives organizations a means to move towards what I call the three R's of business. That is, everybody doing the right things and doing them right at the right time. Now, companies can use this system to avoid some of the commonplace problems that you read about in the newspaper or news media, seems like daily now, such as accounting irregularities. A lot of times we go in and do the wrong things, and this can lead to the right things. My first book, this is basically an evolution of stuff, of work that I've done over the last 25 years, trying to help organizations first answer the right question and then do it also with smarter techniques along the way.
Okay. So what tips would you give to individuals looking to start their own network marketing or home-based business, far as from a perspective of, I know you've written this basically for a lot of like big companies and stuff, but the person that's starting a small business, you know, and you talk about accounting irregularities, what tips would you give people in the small business world?
Well, that's the way I really started myself. I took a bridge to retirement in 1992 from IBM after 24 years. My first book came out in 1992, and I thought, well, gee whiz, this is a great thing, and everybody's just going to flock to you. Well, I was rather naive and just didn't know what it kind of was all about. But one thing, I did do some things right, you know, some things I got some lot of lessons learned along the way, but I did start working out of my house, and I truly had a passion for what I was doing. And, you know, and I think it's grown, and I never expected to have employees and have a 4,400-square-foot build-out and so on. But, and it's just, you know, it's kind of growing, you know, but you're taking directions as they present themselves. But I gave a presentation a while back at the University of Texas in their MBA program for entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And at first they asked the question, I said, well, how many people want to start their own business? And it was about half of the people raised their hand. And I said, okay, now why do you want to start your own business? And, you know, one of the first things mentioned was to make more money. And then the other one was job security. Another one is to retirement. And then finally somebody came up with something bigger than I am. Now, the first three reasons that I listed there, if that is the sole reason you're doing it, you're probably not going to be very happy. And you're going to be frustrating, and that work is not fun for you. The fourth one, if it's creating something bigger than you are, then I think then you have a real good shot at it. And that's kind of my lessons learned also is I've invested in real estate, and I just didn't have a passion about what I was doing, and I didn't really do very well. This I really have a passion about, and so things have gone a lot better, and you just kind of move in the direction where it somewhat leads you. You create your opportunities as you go along, and then you go in and take advantage of them.
So you sort of saw what Robert Kiyosaki was talking about in terms of, you familiar with his cash flow quadrant? And he talks about,
sure,
on one side you have the employees and self-employed people. So too often self-employed people, all they do is create a job for themselves, where if you create a business that's bigger than yourself, or you know, you get on the other side of the cash flow quadrant, he talks about, you know, you create a business that's bigger than yourself, so you don't have to do everything, or you either get involved in getting your money to work for you. He says too often people go into, you know, thinking, well, being self-employed is great, but if you get sick, the business goes under. You know, all of the responsibilities are on you as opposed to having a team. So you sort of saw that through. You said that when you raised a question about, you know, something, you know, being bigger than myself.
Well, I think it's also even more than that, or in addition to that, is I've just got a passion for what I'm doing.
Okay.
You know, so you get it in your heart, and it's you want to go in and really give something to society. You know, you got a passion as opposed to just doing something that you really don't like. Like, for example, me in houses, buying houses and running them out, I didn't have a passion about that.
Okay.
So you really have to have a passion about what you're doing. Jim Collins in the book Good to Great, you know, he talks about three circles, and you should be an intersection before you can get started on saying, hey, what am I the best in the world at? What do I have a passion about, and what makes economical sense? And it's really the interconnection of those three things. Then the thing is, you've found your sweet spot, and that's what you ought to be working on. But if it's something that's just not different than anybody else, and it's something that you just don't enjoy doing, you're going to have problems, because it's not really easy being in business for yourself. I mean, it's, you know, 24/7, it seems like. And then the thing is, you get employees, and you're having to keep all them going and everything else, then you're even more exposed. So people really have to go at it open-eyed, and I think and if they do that and they know what they're getting in for, and their family's willing to go along with all this, then the thing is, they can do real well if they got a passion for it.
Okay. Yeah, I truly agree with you. One time I used to market life insurance, and you know, I could do it, and I was good at it, but I didn't have a passion for it.
Right.
You know, and it was like, you know, I knew how to close, I knew how to do everything that I needed to do, you know, as far as making money doing it, but it just didn't drive me. So I understand that importance of having a passion for what you, you know, for whatever it is that you want to do business-wise. It's got to be more than just the money. Now, your system that you've put together through this series, what are some of the problems that your systems help people solve in their businesses?
Well, often the systems that are out there for both large and small companies don't lead to the right kind of activities. We don't end up going in and measure the right things, and we often that can lead to activities that are not very healthy for the overall organization. I don't know if you saw the Wall Street Journal yesterday's paper, you know, I guess it's March 21st, where it was describing the compensation system for executives, and it was just really sickening, I guess you might say. And, you know, we're going to have to do some fundamental change, or our grandkids are not going to have the life we've grown accustomed to, you know, and because we have a lot of metrics both at the high level and also cascading throughout the organization that drives the wrong kind of behavior, and it's not necessarily healthy for the enterprise as a whole. So that's one of the things that I think is really essential when you start thinking about it. Hey, what am I going to do? We can often have a lot of activities, but they just don't really lead to, you know, the end results. If that are desirable. And if you're a for-profit company, it's really revenue and how much money you get to keep. You know, but you got to decide also what is your core business that you're going to focus on, and don't just get too distracted and try to do too many things, because then you lose your focus. And I think that's really essential. Now, often organizations line everything they do to strategies. Well, I'm suggesting that's not a very good way of doing it, because our strategies can have problems, and then if we line all our measurements to these strategies, then we change our strategy, it changes all our measurements too. I'm not saying strategies are bad, but we need to look at the overall enterprise and system that we're actually, and the thing that we're doing, the work that we're doing before we build a strategy. And so we want to look and analyze that to see which strategy is the most effective for us, and not do too much, but whatever we try to do, we go in and are serious about it. And if it's not working, we use data to figure out what we might do differently to improve it.
So what does it take to have, you know, conduct an effective strategy meeting?
Well, I think, first off, you want to come in with data and also as much information you can, even about the competition, what you're trying to do, and before the actual meeting. Then you need to go in and have the right people in the meeting. And then you go in and start brainstorming and come out with very specific strategies, and then a plan to execute those two or three or four strategies, depending upon how big your organization is. Don't try to do too much. The other thing, when we figure out where we're going to be focusing our efforts, we need to look at the overall enterprise to figure out what our constraint is. You know, if I've worked with one company, it wasn't a very big company, they made like windows for aircraft. And if you pour acrylic in a mold and then you stretch it out, it changes the parameters so that, you know, it performs well in aircraft. And I started looking at their organization. I said, well, which is the problem? I mean, can you sell everything you make? And the answer is yes. So then I started walking through the organization in the process, and it became very obvious to me that there are some inefficient processes, but the one that was the most of the bottleneck basically was this polishing of the window so you could see through it. You know, afterwards, obviously, when you pulled it, you know, you could see it's got waves to it. Well, you know, I said, well, I believe that if you had third shift on Saturdays, probably not as efficient as Monday through Friday. Well, they first said, well, no, that's not the case. And later they said, yeah, that is the problem. I said, well, that you ought to be focused on, as opposed to all these other projects that are not the bottleneck.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to go in and look at the whole enterprise as a system and then figure out where you're going to focus your battle.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. Which leads to the next question. So what are some of the ways the company can measure their performance and execution against their strategy?
Yeah, and well, you want to go in and first identify which strategy you're working on, and then go in and start create a process on how you're taking it on, and then you start measuring what makes sense for that particular strategy. Maybe it's affecting if you're doing sales calls. You know, how many calls are you doing out? You know, are you saying the right thing? You know, what kind of responses are you getting from these calls? And you start looking at it, that, and you create a process so you're doing something consistent, and then you observe it and you say, well, that's not giving me the response I want to, and then you do change it a little bit and see if that makes a difference. And Edwards Deming, he's the one that turned the Japanese around in the 50s, he called that plan, do, check, act. So you create a system, what you're doing, a process, and then you evaluate how well you're doing. If it's not, you say, okay, let's get everybody together, let's tweak it a little bit and see what we might do differently. And this is the same thing that applies if you go in and trying to market your services, saying, hey, am I really going out and really talking to the right people and trying to build my own network? And you start pulling it together, you start looking at where people are coming from. For example, LinkedIn.com, you know, one of the social networking systems that are out there. I got a call from somebody, and I tried to ask, well, how did you find us? Because we have a lot of different things out there. I got my books, I got the websites and so on, and I got a lot of people I know already and I've worked at for so long. And he said, well, there's this one site that we advertise on, and then he mentioned also LinkedIn.com. Well, I had been kind of a member on it, but the thing is I wasn't active, and I got some data point. So now I'm starting to become more active on it and seeing how I might use it better. Now I got the team, and we just had a team meeting Friday. I said, okay, how can we utilize the LinkedIn.com to help us do a better job on driving the right people to us?
Okay, how has your integrated enterprise excellence system philosophy improved the functionality, the morale, and all-around profitability with some of the companies you have worked with?
Well, I think it's, you know, so often what happens in organizations that people get pulled from different directions, and you got more than one kind of stress. You got what I call good stress and bad stress. Bad stress is when you're getting pulled and your manager or somebody else is putting all these demands on you and you feel like you're completely out of control. Whereas good stress is if you know what to do and now it's a matter of executing it. So in this world, we have to have stress, but we want to have good stress. Well, what happens so often in the organization, we firefight. We have measurements and we start reacting to whenever it's not giving us what we want, and we react to it as though it's special cause, like something unusual has happened today, where in most cases it's just normal variability. And if through the normal variability and we look at all the data collectively, it doesn't give us what we want, then we have to go in and change what we're doing. Now, this could be applying to marketing, or it could be sales, or it could be a manufacturing plant defective rates. If you start tracking it over time, not bound by calendar year, and it's not giving what you want, you've got to change the process. And that typically or can take a lot of work. But what happens often is organizations go in and establish a bunch of metrics and goals throughout the organization, and people are not given the time to really analyze the data and figure out what they should do to improve it, and it can lead a lot of stress, and people start playing games with the numbers. So whenever you start looking at this data differently, then you don't necessarily beat up on people as much, and now you go in and start saying, okay, what are we going to do to fundamentally improve our process, as opposed to, gee whiz, why didn't you meet the numbers this week? And they don't have any idea what they ought to be doing differently.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Like I said, you know, most of our listening audience is in network marketing. I'm a network marketer myself, so it's my co-host. And, you know, one of the things, you know, I mean, your statement about, you know, getting each one doing the right things right at the right time. I mean, we go through that so much. We call it being coachable, you know, and I believe that's just something universal in terms of all businesses. And just go over, like, you know, when you don't have people doing right things right at the right time, what kind of chaos does that create for the business?
Oh, it can be really havoc. Now, I think there's also, before we even get into that, Jim Collins talks about getting the right bus or getting the right people on the bus in the right seat. And that, to me, is really essential. You know, sometimes, I'm a big fan of Edwards Deming. And, you know, one of the things he blames so much of it on the system, the business system, on how you do the work. And I thought, well, you could make processes so anybody could do the work. Well, that's just not fundamentally true. You know, I found out, you know, actually living and breathing this and walking it, you have to really be working with the right people. And they may not be the right person that fits into your culture and your network, mm-hmm. or they're not, maybe not be the best person for that job. And so it's important to figure out who you're going to be working with, and trying to then, whenever that's the right person, then the thing is you can continually looking at the process and you describe what they're doing, and you might be surprised when you start walking their process, finding out that they're doing some things that are not very efficient and it's not effective. And then you help them and coach them and watch what they're doing and document in a flow chart what they're doing. So now you got structures and everything. So we're all being consistent on how we're approaching this. And we learn from each other. If somebody in the network is doing something better than somebody else, we want to learn from that. And if we start building flow charts and document how we're doing the process and we learn from each other, then the thing is things can work out a lot better. But, again, you have to be working with the right people, because sometimes the people that you're working with, they're not the best person for that particular job. It's not saying they're bad, but they're not necessarily very suited for that particular role.
Yeah, I follow what you're saying. Sometimes, you know, we get people and, you know, we have a system that you know, that works in terms of some of the other people who've, you know, obtained six-figure incomes through what we're doing. They've been able to share what works, and then you have people that come in. So, well, I don't want to do it that way. I'm doing it this way. But they think that they're going to get the same results, but they don't get the same results, and they get frustrated because they didn't, you know, they didn't apply the system that you know, was given to them. They altered it.
Right.
And so it creates a clog in the, you know, in the operation. Last question, and then I'm going to let you talk some information about your website, your books, and other stuff. Why should struggling companies or people that are struggling in business hire a business consultant?
Well, I think it's kind of interesting that, you know, a lot of times I'm dealing with big companies, and then they go in and be penny wise and pound foolish, and they don't hire a business consultant to help them. Or they have had some problems with the business consultants in the past because they didn't deliver, and then they go get rid of them. But when I look at it, I'd probably hire more business consultants than some of the companies I deal with, it seems like. If there's something I just don't flat know how to do, I want to go get the best I can. But then I'm going to track how well they're doing, and if they're not doing, giving me what I need, then I'm going to cut bait. So if it, to me, it decides if you really are honest with yourself and companies are honest with themselves and saying, I really don't know how to do this, and I don't know, even know what the right question is, then the thing is you need to go in and have somebody help you. But it's really important, again, get the right person on the bus, is not just go in and build it just off of relationships. So often what happens is somebody goes in and says, well, I know Joe or Mary, and that's how you end up getting that business consultant, but it's not necessarily the right person for the overall business that you're in. So you have to get the right person. It's just not just any old consultant will do it for you.
Okay. Audience, you've been listening to Forrest Breyfogle III, and he's been sharing with us his series called Integrated Enterprise Excellence System. And could you tell us where people can get your books at, Forrest?
Okay, well, my books are on www.smartersolutions.com, which also has what I call a resource library. It's got a lot of articles and things like that that people can download. It's off of the website, but www.smartersolutions.com. Amazon.com has it, and bookstores are getting it right now. Some of the books are still getting printed, but they all should be out there pretty soon.
Okay, and any closing comments you have for our listening audience in relationship to your books, your philosophy, and you know, a business tip or a business advice for them?
Yeah, one thing I've done in the system is there's been a lot of work on Lean Six Sigma and a lot of project execution. Even Dilbert's made fun of Six Sigma. And these are not business systems. They're project problem-solving systems. What I've created on this Integrated Enterprise Excellence System is an enterprise to make system, or define, measure, analyze, prove, control. It's really an overall enterprise system where we lead to measurements, analytics, and improvements, and then we have a control system all in once. And so by doing this overall system, then organizations can avoid a lot of the problems about that you're reading about in the newspaper these days.
Okay. Well, thank you for being our guest this morning, Forrest, and, you know, good luck with your books. And, you know, I'm enjoying, you know, reading them and, you know, looking at how to apply some of the things that you have in there to what I'm doing in terms of network marketing. And, I mean, that whole thing of getting the right people on the bus, I mean, you know, is so important because too often, you know, in network marketing, people figure, well, I just need to recruit people. Well, you know, you need to recruit the right people because, you know, if you get the wrong people on your team, you can't get the desired results that you want. And it's so important to just, you know, finding those right people. You might have to search a little harder, but in the long run, it pays off. Would you agree?
I agree.
Okay, you have a great day. And, again, we want to thank you for being our guest this morning on Home Based Business 101, and we wish you much success.
Thank you, and my pleasure for being there.
Okay. And that was Forrest Breyfogle III, author of The Integrated Enterprise Excellence System, and his books, you know, and the things that he's talking about, though, you know, some people look at him applying to big business. Well, if you get big in YTB, you're going to want to make sure that you have the right people doing the right things at the right time. Do you agree with that, Monticello?
I definitely do, Satawa. You've got to have the right people doing the right thing at the right time. It's very important because there is a system. Most businesses that are in business, if they're successful because they have a business model, a system that you follow. And what happens a lot of times is a lot of people come up with their own ideas, and they end up not following the system. And so in network marketing, what happens there is when they're not following the system, they get frustrated because they're not moving as fast as they think they should be moving, but they're not following the system. They're creating their own system. They get behind, they get frustrated, and the next thing you know is you don't hear from them anymore. Or if you call them, they're not returning your calls and that kind of stuff. So it's very important to follow that system that's put in place to move that product or service or whatever you're dealing with.
And yeah, that's so true. I mean, and we'll be doing this week. Tomorrow we'll be broadcasting tomorrow at 7 p.m., and we're going to be going over what we call how to plug in to the right system. Let's share with people while we have some time left on this edition of our Sunday show, Monticello, some of the things that people considering getting involved in this journey with us through YTB, which again stands for Your Travel Biz. It allows people to, you know, basically have an online travel booking engine and at the same time be able to sell travel stores. And, you know, but we have, as we mentioned, and we're talking about systems. What are some of the systems that we have in place that people need to follow when they come on board, Marcella?
Well, first of all, my belief is that you've got to get your mind right. You've got to get, because in the network marketing industry, basically what's happened is the advertising, so-called advertising company, has been taken out of the deal. So it's up to the individual now to market and advertise that product or service. And one of the first things that we're taught, and it's really just starting to make a big impact on me, one of the first things that we're taught is to introduce your business, have a grand opening. We do something called travel parties. And travel parties basically is exposing your business to people that you know and people they know, people they know. So having taken the advertising, so-called advertising company out of the process of moving this product, you've got to do all of that yourself. And one of the best ways to do that in network marketing is word of mouth or relationship marketing. Somebody telling somebody and they just sharing it with all the people that they know. So travel parties, first travel parties, I think are the number one most important thing that we should be doing if we're in YTB.
Yes, and people, when we say travel parties, what we basically mean is getting people together and let people talk about their favorite vacation spot, the favorite place they like to go, and then showing people how they can travel, as we say, wholesale versus retail, how they can save money on their travel. Everyone travels. Everyone likes to travel. People are going to travel, and we have an opportunity through this company to be able to have an online travel booking engine, the same as Orbis, Expedia, Travelocity, and the other companies. And people can book all of their travel-related needs from off of our site. They even can get flowers. They can buy tickets to ball games, like right now, a college basketball game. You know, NCAA March Madness is going on. So people can buy it. They can get a ticket off your site. You know, football, all of those different things. And had a chance to listen to Kenny Knox, the PGA golfer who's on the golf tour. He's on the senior tour now and still playing. And he's also in YCB. He says, you know, hey, he books all his travel. He's talking about one of the caddies, one of the big-time caddies that caddies for some of those that's playing in the circuit with Tiger Woods and them. And, you know, this particular caddy is saving $300 to $400 a week on his hotel by being what's called a referring travel agent in YTB. By having his own travel site and his travel credentials, he's able to now, when he goes to hotels, instead of paying $169 a night, gets that same room for $60 a night. So, I mean, there's a lot of tremendous savings that, you know, people are able to get and take advantage of, you know, by having these tools work for them. And, you know, it's going to come a time when the majority of people are going to have one of these sites. And the key is, in terms of for those looking at wanting to cash in on an enterprise and a business opportunity, the thing is, how many of your friends, family members, and loved ones that you know are you going to be able to share this information with, since they're going to get a site eventually one day anyway, and you help them get one and get paid? Could you share a little bit about our compensation system, Monty? Then I'll give people a few more pointers about how they plug in.
Compensation system is so great that I think that's one of the things that we need to kind of put out front. The business model of the company tied with the compensation system is just totally awesome. I know a lot of people use that word awesome a lot, but this one is truly awesome. After becoming an RTA, a referring travel agent, what are you going to do first? You're going to have your travel party. Because why? Well, I've started asking this question. How many, I mean, if I'm talking to one person, you go in business, would you like to have the success of, say, a McDonald's? And they say yes. Well, do you know what you have to do to have the success of a McDonald's? The thing that you've got to do is you've got to open up other stores. In McDonald's case, other hamburger stores, other McDonald's. In our case, you've got to open up more travel stores. The more travel stores you have, the more successful you will become, and that's exactly what happened with McDonald's. So the first thing you want to do is, when you come into business, you've got to start having travel parties. You know, and even if you've just got one person at your travel party, that's great, because that person can take what they saw and share it with somebody else, or try to get somebody else to come and see what they saw. So you want to have that travel party because you want to develop what's called your first team, your first team. And your first team consists of the first six people that you sell a travel store to. And every time you sell a travel store, if it's a personal, if you did it personally, you'll earn $50. But let's say you sold three travel stores. You got your travel store, you sold your three travel stores. And then you helped each one of those three sell one travel store. Well, there you are. You've developed your first team now. So for selling the three that you sold, you earn $50. The other three that were sold by the other people, you earned $25. They earned $50. So after you get those first three in place, you're going to get something called a 50% match. And that means that people that you bring on board, whatever they sell, you get half of it. They'll get what they sell, but you'll get half of that. So now you've got your first team in place. Now you're getting ready to strike gold because the next person that's hired in your organization is what's called your power team. They're on your power team. And big things start to happen on your power team. And when you get six people on your power team, not from just what you've done, but what the rest of your team has done, when you get six people on your power team, you're going to get a $1,000 bonus in addition to the commissions that you made from the sale of those stores. You're also going to get a $1,000 bonus. And you can do that over and over and over until you just get tired of doing it. Maybe, I hope you don't get tired of doing it, but you could just keep doing that forever. And then once you and your team have accumulated in your distribution system 100 travel stores, the company is going to cut you a check for $10,000. And it just gets better and better and better. Now, once you and your team have 500 stores in your distribution system, you're going to become what's called a level one director. And as a level one director, oh man, things just start to happen. The company is going to give you free medical and dental. You're going to get a life insurance policy, $150,000 life insurance policy. You're going to be included in the profit sharing. Your share per month will be $2,000 per month, in addition to all the other monies that you and your teammates are making. And so it just keeps getting better and better and better. And I just wanted to share that with you, Satawi.
Yeah, that is awesome in terms of this whole thing of, you know, people just think out there. You refer people to a job, but did you ever get, when you refer somebody to a job, 50% of whatever it is that they make without them losing anything? Well, that's what this company does. And, you know, the whole thing of, again, of network marketing, sometimes people get confused and think, oh, well, I'm making money off of other people. You're making money off of collective effort. Let's look at it this way. Let's call something we call your opportunity factor. And this is how your opportunity factor. Let's say you got John over here. John is out of 1 out of 10. He's a 10. I mean, he just shows up to work every day, works hard. In terms of his job, John is very knowledgeable of his job. He gets a 10 in that area. So how we come up with this opportunity factor, we take and multiply that 10 times 10, which is 100, times 1, because John is just one individual. So his opportunity factor is 100. And let's take Bill over here. Let's say Bill, he's about half as sharp as John. You know, he's a 5. Knowledgeable of the job, he's about half as sharp as John, a 5. So, but he has 100 people on his distribution network, 100 people on his team. So we multiply 5 times 5, which is 25, times 100, just 2,500. He's got an opportunity factor of 2,500 versus the other guy who has an opportunity factor of only 100, because the other guy is only getting paid off of his effort and his effort alone, where the other person is getting paid off the effort of 100 people working together. Now, where would you much rather be? The 100 opportunity factor or the 2,500 opportunity factor? Does that make sense, Montesol?
Yes, Satawi. And how are corporations set up anyway? You've got corporate up here. You've got executives. You've got managers. You've got supervisors. And you've got workers. And so it's that corporation is making money based on a bunch of people. A bunch of people doing their jobs, doing what they're supposed to be doing, when they're supposed to be doing it. And so your company as a network marketer is no different than any other corporation, except that it's yours. In other words, think about the corporation you work for. What is the chance of you becoming the CEO of that corporation or owning that corporation? With most corporations out there, the average person's chance to become the CEO of that corporation is zero, just plain zero. Just be frank about it, it's zero. So, in my opinion, the greatest opportunities out there are in the network marketing arena because, first of all, you own the company, and your investment is nowhere near, let's say you bought a McDonald's, you wanted to go into fast food, you bought a McDonald's. You've got to put up hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, in network marketing, for little or nothing, you can start your business and begin moving your product, selling your product, and if you so choose, you can start to build a business because your success model may be something like a McDonald's. So you start building a distribution system, and that's where your success comes in. Well, you can be successful just selling your product, but the bigger success would be into building your distribution system.
That is so true. And, again, this company, we have a lot of training tools. We have conference calls. They make it so that even if you don't catch the call live with your back office, you can go into your back office and archive the calls. And all these training calls, they teach you and help you with every aspect of the business. So that way you're in business for yourself, but you're not in business by yourself. We also have something that's called a CRT training, Certified Referring Travel Agent training session, which teaches you about all aspects of the business. Marcella, you've been to one of those. Could you share with our listening audience some of the aspects of the CRT training and what one gets out of it and why it's a very important tool for people to take advantage of when they come into this business?
Yes, yes. First of all, you've got to do it. It is so important to get started right in any business when you start. And training is the biggest thing that you've got to take on. You've got to plug into the training facilities that's provided. And the CRTA training class, my wife and I went, and first of all, you're around a lot of like-minded people. And so the room, the environment is electrified from just that fact. And then you get a chance to meet some outstanding leaders in our company. These are directors. And what they're doing is they're using their expertise to teach you our business. And you'll get a training manual while you're there to follow along. So that'll be something that can go into your reference library. So when you get home and you have questions or something, you need to work something out, you can refer to your training manual. It'll help you out. But the information that's imparted on you is priceless. It's very necessary, and you get to ask questions. I mean, the sessions, I will encourage everybody, even if you're not in the business and you want to check the business out, go to one of those training sessions in a city near you. And there are so many things in one. One of the things, they are opportunity meetings. So they're going to teach you about the business. You can pick up pointers of how to present the information. I mean, there's just so many things going on at one time. But you must go and get the information.
Yes, that's so true. And I want to take in, you know, we have a special program right now that the company's marketing, and it's called a Two Fly Free program. And this program, you know, is designed where you can fly to certain destinations as often as you want within a 12-month period and, you know, be able to have where your airfare is on us and you just pay for the hotel that you stay at. And, you know, there's people that are really taking advantage of this. And, again, it's one of the perks that the company is pushing and marketing right now and people are taking advantage of it. Could you share a few details of that program for us? Am I just telling how much it costs for the program package?
I sure can. In my estimation, that's going to be one of the biggest and most successful programs in the company because picture this. You put up $300, and for a 12-month period, you can fly to approximately 20 destinations for free. And you'll have to stay a minimum of 7 days, but your airline tickets are absolutely free. If you wanted to fly out every day, 365 days, you could do that for free. Now, this program is a membership-based program, so it's a $300 membership, but your loved one, your partner, your whomever, you and one other person can fly to all of these destinations around the world for free, and you just pay for the hotel. And those hotels, in a lot of cases, are reduced rate. They are reduced rate, but they are top rate. So, and that's the basis of the program. And so many people are jumping on board with that, as should be expected, because when do you get to do anything free? Something as big as flying in an airplane. And we all know, hey, looking at fuel cost, airline tickets are gonna go up even higher. And so this program is capturing a situation that we're all having to deal with, high fuel costs. So I encourage everybody, take advantage of it. It's there for the taking.
That's so true. And as we pretty wind down and wrap up, you know, it's Easter Sunday, and some people will be tuning to this on the archive. So because I know a lot of people at the church service today right now while we're doing the live portion of this show. We do have a few callers that are listening in right now, and we thank you for listening in with us on this Easter Sunday. And one of the things we want to wrap up and close down with is, you know, you might want to do something special for your church, or you might have a favorite nonprofit out there, a charity that you really like to be able to see get some help. And we have a special program called Passport to Giving Program, and I'm going to let Mr. Mitchell close out with sharing some information about the Passport to Giving Program, and then I'll wrap it up.
That's something that we call turning vacations into donations, and it boils down to this. People in the church, members in the church, nonprofits that are out doing wonderful things, to do these things, they need money. Grant money is drying up. People are giving less money because they have less money to give. And so these organizations, to do their thing, to do the thing that they do, they still need money. Well, our company has a program that you, the rep, the RTA, can help put in place for your favorite charity or charities, put this in place for them to have a continuous flow of money coming to their organizations. I mean, once this thing is in place, it works automatically. Works 24/7, 365 a year. It just works and works and works. As a matter of fact, it works like money, you know, because once you put money in place, it works. It doesn't get sick, doesn't need a vacation. And so a lot of nonprofits, a lot of charities, the ways that they raise their money is very labor intensive. You need a lot of people. You got to coordinate a lot of people, and to make this thing happen. Well, imagine this: your organization, or your favorite charity, or your church, having their own travel site, and members in the congregation, and family and friends, everybody. See, everybody's traveling anyway. People are taking vacations. So let's say they take a vacation and they book, they go to your travel site, your organization's travel site, and book their travel, their hotel, their car, their flight. They book all of that on your organization's or your favorite charity's website, travel site. As a result of that, your organization or favorite charity will receive 60% of the commissions paid to YTB. Now, isn't that awesome? That's an awesome way to raise money for some of these organizations that are out here doing the good work. So we've got to get some of these organizations. We've got to help them. They need our help. We need to be out there making those phone calls, getting in touch with key people in these organizations to get these programs on board so they can establish some income, some new money. So let's get out there and make that happen for these nonprofits.
All right. Would you give out your contact information for those that are listening, Mr. Mitchell, so that they'll know how to get in touch with you to get them nonprofits hooked up?
Oh, okay. Our website is www.dawnstravelsite.com, www.dawnstravelsite.com. And all of our contact information is on our site.
All right. I want to thank you, and hope you enjoy, you and your Don, enjoy the rest of the day. As we wrap up this segment of Home-Based Business 101 on this Easter Sunday morning, and we will be broadcasting tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and we will be doing how to do the business right, how to plug in and, you know, get started the right way, all the right kind of things you need to do, and how to take advantage of an opportunity. It's no good being able to share an opportunity with people and don't give them the proper coaching and training so that they can take advantage of the opportunity. And it's so, so important. It's something that I once learned. It says that luck is when opportunity and preparations pass, cross one another, and then something special happens. So we want to make sure that people are prepared so as they engage in this opportunity that they can get the best and the most out of it, because there's going to come a time when the majority of people are going to have their own online travel booking engine through YTB. But the question is, for those of you that are listening, how many people do you assist in that process? In order for you to assist people in that process, you need to be able to come on board and get involved in the process. So, again, we thank you for listening. And on behalf of Cynthia and Satawi Jahi and Don and Monticello Mitchell, have a great, great day. And kick it out with our theme song, My Time. And be blessed. Talk to you tomorrow night. Up.
Blog Talk Radio.